Keer op de Ches Zayin. Esther is afraid that Achashverosh did all these nice favors about giving over the Beis Haman and making Mordechai the new Mishneh LeMelech, but he's not taking care of the Yekka problem here of reversing Haman's decree. So Esther is pleading like she never did before to ask Achashverosh to rescind Haman's decree. So Achashverosh, meanwhile, what's he thinking here? You know, this queen, she thinks that I'm such a lowlife that she has to cry and cry and cry and cry because she thinks I'm so cold. So he's explaining to her, no, you don't understand. First of all, he calls in Mordechai. And he tries to explain to them, I'm the Jew's best friend. Hine beis homo nosati lester. And you know why? That sends a message to the whole world that I'm a friend of the Jews. Now this business about the decree, however, is a small problem here. As it says in the next pasuk, Ksav asher nichtav b'shem ha'melech b'nachmat b'as ha'melech ein lo hashiv. We Bemis have to be fair to Achashverosh, we also have a klal in halacha called in Cain, ma koyach based in Yofa. If based in makes a takana, and then it's always subject to being reversed, so it makes based in look very bad, and people won't have respect for the mills of the Rabbanim. So if you have a decree which was already stamped with a royal signet, you can't just play around with it. You can't just, reverse it any time you want. Okay, but Mordechai, you now have the ring, right? You're the Mishneh LeMelech. Do whatever you want. Make a gzera, somehow figure out what to do with this ring so that it will come out good for the Jews. Okay, so what does Mordechai do? He calls back all of the messengers. What date? It's very significant. The 23rd day of Sivan.
Let's go. So you probably heard that sermon from his father.
When Haman originally sent out the messengers, so they come back, and Mordechai is making a point of taking those same messengers and sending them back out to now present the second version of the decree, the revised version. Why did it have to be the same messengers? So we explained this point before, that if it was a second set of messengers, so the Goyish Asarim are going to see the different messages and they're going to say, there's a contradiction here. This says Goyim killed Jews, this says Jews killed. We hold the first version is the more accurate one, and the second one we dismiss it. That's not what we accomplish anything. So Mordechai, that's what we call Trey or Trey in Halacha. They cancel each other out and you do what you want. But now that it's the same messengers, so what is the Gemara saying? Suvis, Hapesha Asar, Hapesha Hitzer. If it's the same messengers, so now a Karchuk, the Sarim have to realize that it's not two different messengers, and it's a contradiction. It's the same messengers, and it's a retraction. So now they have to realize that the king was officially Pfizer on the first time, and now he's agreeing to the new revised version. The Grosses points out something else. I mentioned before that the 23rd of Sivan, when he's sending out the messengers the second time, is significant. When did Haman send out the first? That was the 13th day of Nisan. The 23rd of Sivan is exactly 70 days later. You make a cheshbon. 70 days later. The number 70 is significant because it's also the number of years Klal Yisrael was in Golus Babel. Mordechai wanted to make sure that connected the 70 years of Babel, Klal Yisrael would have 70 days of being Isaac in Shuva and in Tainis as a tikkun. That way now they'll be eligible men ha-shamayim to return to Eretz Yisrael and build the second base of Mikdash. That was part of the Cheshbon. So what did Mordechai write in the second set of letters? Now remember, he has to address the Sarim and the populace separately. What did he tell the Sarim? That all Jews will be allowed, Likol v'lamon nafshem, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Lahashmid, Laharoy, Laabed, Eskolchel, Amu, Medina, Asor, Maisam, Taf, Noshim, Ushlom, Lavoiz. Okay, we understand that he's saying that Jews should be allowed to defend themselves against their enemies. It doesn't really seem normal that Mordechai should say, and they're going to kill out the Goyim, destroy them, obliterate them, and cremate them, and confiscate them. I mean, that makes sense when Haman is the one making this Zera. Why is Mordechai writing all this? The answer is because he has to emphasize that it's the same Zera, just with a little Haggah, Kilu. Instead of the Goyim killing out the Jews, it's going to be, like, yeah, just that one small little change. But everything else is the same decree. That's where they keep the original wording. So to the general populace, he says like this, Pasuk Yudbeis and Yudgimel, that Golul Chalamim Liyasa Yehudim Asidim Yomazel Yonokim Meoveihem. The Jews should be able to take revenge from their enemies. Now, the Lashon Liyos Hayudim Asidim Yomazel echoes the original Lashon of that the Goyim should be ready for that day. Haman did not originally specify what should be done. We explained before because he didn't want the Jews to find out and start making ishtadlus to undo the decree. So that's why he hid his plans from the Hamonah. But Mordechai, from Vakert, he's telling all Jews what the decree is. And comes out to the benefit, it was to Mordechai's benefit that Haman didn't specify what the Gzeir was to the Hamonah. Mordechai is now simply saying, what was that decree that the Hamonah should see? That Jews should take revenge from their enemies. And that was the original decree. It's all part of the idea that everyone should realize this is not a new decree, it's simply a change in the first decree. Okay. So Mordechai, after Shushan, the people of Shushan have done their correct amount of tshuva, so he goes out, this is one of the psukim of the Yeshua, he goes out with a whole complement of royal clothing. The Gemara says it's a remes to tzitzis and tefillin. Tchelis, for example, is the strings of tchelis. Ateres of gdos is the tefillin shel roish. You look in the Gemara, and it's to be meramez that the Jews now can practice their religion freely. Haman was Geizer Shmad, which explains the next pasuk. Laihudim Haisa Oyra V'Simcha V'Sas V'Kar Oyra Zutayra. Haman had been Geizer against Tyra, and now the Jews once again have Tyra Simcha Yantiv Sasan is Mila V'Kar is Tfilin. The Jews had nothing to fear anymore. Haman was out of power, and we could be Jews again on the streets proudly. When all the Yidden got wind of this decree, so of course it was great celebration, and it says, Mishteh v'yomtiv. Then and there, all the Jews throughout the world already made the first yomtiv of Purim that same year, and that year was a yomtiv, full-fledged yomtiv, Osir Basiyas Malacha, which is not the Purim that we have today, and we'll see why in the ninth parak. But all the Yidden, they were so overwhelmed with joy when they saw the Rabbanu Shalom's Yeshua that they declared a Yontif. The last pasuk, the very end of the eighth parak is very humorous. The Rabbim Me'amiyarts Misyahadim Kinofa Pachad Yudim Aleihem. The word Misyahadim means that they were trying to convert. The Rabban Shem had Mevato. Remember we said that Al Shem Apur, that Rabban Shem switched the whole order of Amazolus so that now the Mazul of Amalek was totally neutralized. So an aspect of this is that not only were all the nations of the world displaying animosity toward Jews, but the opposite. They displayed such respect for Jews that Goyim wanted to be like the Jews. They wanted to convert, but we can't accept them as converts because when the Jews are in a high position, we don't take converts. Because obviously that, because then the conversion wasn't sincere. But okay, so if I can't convert, he wants to pretend he's a Jew. And all of a sudden, Goyim, or Mamash going the streets, is wearing yarmulkes, is wearing pay. You have to be careful looking to make sure that he was a Jew. You know, he'll touch your wine, and who knows what. And they were asking Jews, please honor us by attending our banquet and giving a blessing to us. It was unbelievable to the degree to which HaKadosh Baruch Hu neutralized Amalek. So then we come to the ninth perek. In the ninth perek, we fast forward to the 13th day of Adar, or some a good couple of months after the events of the previous bracha. It says that this originally had been the day Asher Sibru Oive Hayhudim Lishloit Behem V'Nafoichu Asher Yishlutu Hayhudim Heimu B'Soineihem. So it's strange. The Pasuk first starts to talk about Oivim, Oive Hayhudim, and then it talks about Soineihem. What's Oivim, what's Soineihem, says the Goyim. An Oiv is an enemy who shows himself overtly to be an enemy. Those are the anti-Semites who scream and shout that they're anti-Semites. But there's another type of anti-Semite who is like a closet anti-Semite. And he's harder to fish out, but that's what we call a Sinei. He might not perpetrate evil against the Jews himself, but when he sees others do that, he's happy about it. So the pasuk here is emphasizing Asher Yishlo to Ayhudim Heimah B'Soneim, that the Yidden were now even to overcome not only the Oivim, but even the Soneim. How were they able to know who those Soneim were? So there's a part from the Stipler. The Stipler says that what was taking place all this time before there was a change in the Gzeirah? Goyim were coming out of the woodwork and they were joining all the anti-Semitic rallies and the KKK and whatnot, and Jews were taking note of this. Oh, that guy is also an anti-Semite. I didn't realize he was my next door neighbor all this time. Taka, he's an anti-Semite. At the time, when Haman's in power, so all the anti-Semites feel safe to come out on the streets and declare their anti-Semitism. Now, months later, Benafaitu, and the Jews taking careful notes who those Soneim were. Now they're able, they have their addresses, and they're able to take revenge on them as well. So everyone is now in awe of the Jews. Unfortunately, we don't see this today, you know, in 2016. This is part of what the Nesek Purim is meant to tell us, the degree to which HaKadosh Baruch Hu could change circumstances to the point where the whole world all of a sudden, yesterday they were speaking against the Jews, now all of a sudden they can't say enough about the Jews. Menasim es HaYehudim Kinof al Pachet Mordechai Aleim, everyone is holding the Jews in esteem because they have a great degree of fear and of Mordechai. Pasuk Dal ki Gadol Mordechai beis Hamelech b'shama holech b'chom adinois ki ish Mordechai holech b'gadol. I chapped mamish today the pshat in this pasuk. Everyone is finding about Mordechai and how great he is. What is the pasuk coming to tell you? We have to realize Mordechai was a great son, yes. But the point of Megillas Esther is not to be a biography of Mordechai and Esther. Obviously, it's meant to tell us about the Nes and how the Moshe made the Nes and the Yeshua of Israel. But you can bet if Artscroll wrote the biography of Mordechai and Tzadik, we would be just like awestruck about this man and what he was about. Right? Simple thing to. So, until this point, before he becomes the new Sheni Lamelech, the Rabbanu Shalom keeps him hidden. The Rebbe speaks about in different shmooz how a tzaddik, there's a necessity to keep him hidden from the public eye, Zayin Hara and other reasons. But at a certain point, then he goes out and becomes public. They say that the Rebbe says over regarding the Chazon Ish. in the early part of the 20th century, a group of Yidden from Eretz Yisrael traveled to Vilna to meet with Chaim Eiser, Isaac Adar, Chaim Eiser, and he asked him Shaul and Zeroyim. We know Zeroyim is Magen Eretz Yisrael. So they asked Chaim Eiser, what did Chaim Eiser tell him? Go back to Eretz Yisrael, go to Bnei Brak, go to Chazon Ish, and ask him whatever he says, he can do. And you know what they answered him? Who? Chazon Ish. Who's that? Until that point, and he had written the Svarim already at that point, but just no one had heard of him. But Tzadik is going to become the new next Gadol HaDor, next Pesach HaDor. The Rishon is master him. And then, at the right time, then he comes out. So that's what happened with Mordechai. All his sukkahs and his meisim, his Torah, everything was all nister. And now that the Rebbeinu is making Mishnah Melech, now it's time for everyone to find out, and even the Goyim are going to find about all the great acts. And that's why they that's pshat. Yo'ish Mordechai Hoylech Gadol. People are spreading word, rumors, on the social media, whatnot. They're telling all of them the greatness of Mordechai. So the Jews begin on the 13th of Adar to destroy their enemies. They inflict Makas Cherev. They torture them with swords. The hereg, that they did what they didn't do with that year. They literally went meshuga on these goyim. They sliced them. That's cherev, hereg. They killed them. Abdon. They just cremated the bodies. Why did they have to cremate the bodies? Because who knows? Later, they realize that the status now of the Jews as number one is not going to necessarily last. There's going to come a door, and Goyim are going to visit the cemetery. Oh yeah, who's that? It's the ones who were killed by those Jews, and that's all they need to hear. And it's wonderful. They had to cremate the body. There has to be no zecher of these for subsequent dairies to take revenge. By Asubusanem Kirtsainam, the Sainam, as we explained before, the people who only came out of the woodwork to show support to the anti-Semites. They too, the Jews, harassed in other ways. So in Shushan, on the 13th of Adar, they killed out 500 Yidden. I'm sorry, Chasashan, they killed out 500 of these Goyim, along with the 10 sons of Haman. Even though the Gzeira said they were entitled to keep all of the property of the Goyim, they nonetheless didn't do so. Because they wanted to make a point. We're not doing this for greed. We're just doing this to get rid of our enemies. But we're not trying to be greedy. So then the pasuk goes on to say that Ahasuerus received a report, and he tells Esther, and he's yelling at the top of his lungs, they killed 500 people in Shushan alone, and they killed the 10 sons of Haman. I can only imagine what in the world they're doing the rest of Adidas. And he's ranting and raving, and all of a sudden, seeming out of nowhere, he says, my dear, what else can I do for you? What a very rapid, abrupt change of attitude. Chazal said that the Malach came down and gave him a good smack in the face. And therefore he's saying, was I talking not nice to you, my dear? And he changed his tune. Okay. So Esther has an interesting request. She asks that the next day, that's the 14th of Adar, be given as an additional day just for the people of Shushan, just for the Jews of Shushan to do Kadosh Hayom, exactly what everyone they were doing today. Also, that the 10 sons of Haman who they killed today, I want to hang them publicly. I want them hung publicly on the 14th. And Achashverosh gives the word, and that's the way it was. Why was there a need? See, this is the whole Makar for 2 days of Purim. This is the seed for all that. Because as we kept explaining, there were two chatoim. The Jews of all the world bowed down to the Tzelemot HaNei Nebuchadnezzar. So they, connected that, were misaking it by relying only on the Rabbanu Shalom And then Yeshua came by destroying all the Goyim, their enemies, on the 13th of Adar. And they, as we'll see later, they made the Yom Tov of Purim on the 14th. But with the Jews of Shushan, they had an extra chet for when they were Dosso of Achashverosh. So connected that, they needed an extra day to further be Masak in the second chet. And that's why they made their Yom Tov on their day of rest, which ended up being what, the 15th. That's the Makor for the 2 days of Purim. So the Pasuk says that the people of Shushan gathered on the 14th of Adar, the extra day, and they killed another 300 people, but again, they didn't touch any of the booty. Meanwhile, the Pasuk shifts scenes to what was going on through the rest of the kingdom. Jews throughout the world were also defending their honor against their enemies. They rested from their anti-Semitic enemies, and they killed out even the Sinim, 75,000 of them, and all the while not touching any of their property. They did this on the 13th of Adar, and they rested on the 14th of Adar. So since the 14th was their day of rest from all the activities of the war, they declared that day to be a day of Mishneh. Simple, that was the first Purim. The Jews of Shushan, on the other hand, they gathered to fight their enemies on the 13th and the 14th. They rested on the 15th. And they made that day, the 15th, a day of rejoicing and happiness. Al-Kain. Pasuk Yutes. This pasuk is seemingly very strange, seeming like it's coming out of nowhere. Al-Kain Ayhudim Akrozim Ayyashim Ari Akrozais. All the Jews of all the Prozim, what are the Prozim? Unwalled cities. Typically, most cities, most major cities of those days had a wall around them. That was the derech. But there were unwalled cities. The unwalled cities, so they kept Purim on the 14th. So the Malbim Menas explains here, till now, we've been discussing that there was the Jews of all the rest of the world fighting the 13th and rest of the 14th, and the Jews of Shushan, who are different, they get the extra day of the 14th to fight, and the rest of the 15th. So what does this mean? I think I heard them a present. So the answer is, says the Malbim, the king sent his soldiers to enforce the law. He made a law that the Jews were entitled to kill the Goyim, and no one was allowed to stop them from doing that. So he sent his soldiers to enforce that law. But regardless of how vast his army was, he can't send all the soldiers to every... I mean, remember, Achashverosh, Moloch, the people, the whole world. So he can't send soldiers to every square meter in the whole world. Who did he send them to? To the walled cities. Those are the major cities. So Nim said that the nest in those walled cities was not as big as later I saw in Pnei Yeshua, I think also says it's solid. That the nest of those walled cities was not as great, but that the people of the unwalled cities, that without the presence of soldiers, they were nonetheless able to wipe out their enemies. That was a bigger nest. Therefore, that's Ja'al Kain and Hidim Prozim. They were celebrating the fact that they resorted to this nest, and even without protection from the king's army, they killed out their enemies, so they made Purim on the 14th. The Pasuk here emphasizes that they made it a Yontif, that was the Purim of that year, and they also gave out special presents, what we now see as Mishloach Manos, but not any mention of Matanos of Yonim yet. So in Pasuk Chaf begins the establishment of the Yom Tov of Purim, the Dairi Dairis. Mordechai sends out letters to all Jews throughout the kingdom, instructing them they should keep the Yos Oisim, the day, the 14th day of Adar, and the day, the 15th of Adar, the Chol Shana V'Shana. Here Mordechai is now being Mechadish, the Yom Tov that you did that first year Purim should be a Yom Tov for the Dairi Dairis. Kayamim, Ashanach, Bimazim Eveim. Why the 14th, 15th? It's like those days when the Jews rested from their enemies, which was the 14th for the Jews of the whole world, and the 15th for the Jews of what? Shushan. On the month which was transformed for them from grief to joy, and from mourning to a festival, that's why we're going to make Yantif in the month of Adar, to make them into a days of Mishtif Simcha, Meshlech Manus Yisrael, Matanus of Yainim. So Mordechai institutes two changes from the Purim that the Jews originally kept. One, the Jews originally made Yantif. Mordechai realized, and the Anshikinesa Gaila, Mordechai was a member of the Anshikinesa, they realized, Al-Piruach HaKadosh, that it was not meant to be a full Yantif. That's why the word Yantif is not mentioned here. And that's why we know Purim is not a full-fledged Yantif, except where they were noyik, like the Gemara says, if there's a place they were noyik to Asr, Masis Malach, fine, but otherwise, the Pashtis are a minig, is not Asr. Right. A second takana is the addition of a mitzvah of Matanas of Yainim, so that Aniyim should also have Hanoah from this Yantif. They might not have so much money to buy food for a Suda and to give out Mishlech Manas, but they should not be deprived of happiness, because this was the Yeshua for every single Yid, rich and poor alike. So they were given a special mitzvah of collecting Matanas Lavyayna. Kibel Hayudim es Hashem Echil HaSois. Notice the word Kibel, Pasuk Chav Gemel, is Lashon Yachid, to show that the Yidin were so in a state of ecstasy over this whole ness of Purim, that they achieved unprecedented achdus, rectifying the state of lack of achdus that they had when Haman made his gzeira of mefoiz or mefoirad. Now they're in a state of achdus. So they were makabel es asher echelu lasos. They originally established Purim, not as a takonu dairus, to celebrate the Ness of that year. But now that which they started, they're continuing. They were makabel Mordechai's words, and they were accepted it, and that's how Yantif of Purim got its start. Then, of course, the children's favorite pasuk in Pasuk of David, Haman Achra, Haman Basra, Achrita, Ki Haman Ben Amadosa, Gogi, Circle Yudim, Choshev, Yudim, Abdom. He made a plan against them to destroy them. He built Pur, Wagaril, Umul, Abdom. His whole plot was to startle them into, he wanted to have them be obliterated even without the benefit of davening before him. Luhumam, to take him by surprise. Ulablim, to totally destroy them. And that was the part of the Yeshua that we found out about it, and we were able to take the necessary action of tshuva and tefillah, Tainus, which did the trick of undoing all of his gzeiros. Pasuk Chafei, Voyel Lefnei HaMelech, Amar HaMaseifer. I have heard an interesting remez. A person who has trouble being mechavin and Shemayin Esrei, so the Neitza, try to have a sitter in front of you. Uve Voyel Lefnei HaMelech, when you're standing in front of Melech, is Lefnei HaSeifer, and there's a stern to the Rebbe. But the Pasuk Pshat is going on Esther. She came before the king, and as a result of her coming, so the king instructed, this is the way the Gemara explains it, because it's otherwise it's the tense, the stira in the tense is the Vavoy is going on her, Omar is going on him. After she did her shtadlis, so eventually Achashverosh rescinded the decree. Pashtus, this pasuk is going on for the sake of Achashverosh. Achashverosh has to give his official approval to Megillas Esther, otherwise it would never have become an official document. So although we kept saying that it wasn't the Ishtadlis which directly led to Yeshua, but for Achashverosh's sake, so they write it in a way, Kilu, when Esther came before him, so Achashverosh ordered the rescinding to make him himself look good. But that's the whole point of that puzzle. And they hung him and his children on a tree. Well, she just told me the other day that even though Haman was hung in Nisan, and the 10 sons of Haman were hung the following 14th of Adar, somehow Haman's body, it's a targum, it's Haman's body did not decompose all this time. It was a point they wanted to hang Haman and his sons together on the same tree all at the same time. For what purpose? Because when everyone saw Haman hanging with his sons, they'll realize, like we said before, that the second decree undid the first decree. Because otherwise they'll tie him. Maybe this one was a zeof. The second one was a zeof. And really the first decree was correct. Mashmo, no. See Haman hanging over there? Look, his version was the zeof. And the second was the legitimate one. Oh. Al-Kain Karu, the Yom-Mai Lepurim Al-Shem Lepur, because that was the biggest mess. The Bunchim reworked the entire system of Mazalos for the sake of the Jews when they did Shuva. Al-Kain Al-Kol Diri Al-Geras Azois, the Geras Azois refers to the Megillus Esther itself. Okay? That according to the Gemara, Esther had asked two things. One, to establish the Yontif of Purim, which we already saw. And two, that the Megillus Esther should be part of Tanakh. At first, Chazal had their tainas, but she eventually won the day, and that's why Megillus Esther is now officially part of Tanakh. That's Divrei Hoigeres Hazois. Kimu v'kiblu Ayhudim. What's Lashon Kimu v'kiblu? Chazal teach us Kimu l'malo mashikiblu l'mato. Although we don't find that the Rabbanu Shalom instructed them to make Purim, nonetheless, they accepted in Shemayim that the Yontif of Purim should have the same status as a Deraisa, the Divrei Kabbalah, the Divrei Torah of Rabbanu. So in Shemayim, now it's officially registered Purim as a Yontif. Even the Gerim, a Kolonil Vamaleim, they have to keep Purim even though they technically didn't benefit from the Nes of Purim. But they nonetheless, since this was a Yontif for all Klai Yisrael, so anyone who's a part of Klai Yisrael has to keep these 2 days. B'chol, Shana v'Shana. Hayom Ayin Niskarim v'Nasim. Niskarim, Chazal teaches as a reference to the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. Not only do we have Megillah Sass response to that, we have to actually read it. And v'Nasim. Then we do all the mitzvahs. First, you have to read the Megillah, night and day, and then we carry all the other mitzvahs of the Suda, and Shacharis, Matanis, Levyayinim. Mashman here, that from night time, you shouldn't give Matanis, Levyayinim. That's a halachic possibility. That's technically said. You may finish this going to the Mishnah, but according to the Niskarim V'Nasim, all the Asiyas should only be after the Zechira of Mikra Megillah. Mishpacha, Mishpacha, Dina Medina, the Yerviya Chazal Darshan is the Shinus, Mesech Megillah. And Vimei Apur Meil Yavram, Mitoich Ayhudim, Mizichom Yosef Mizaram. Purim will always be a Yantif Yin, even in Yemois Mashiach. Because of its Yisai, when Klai Yisrael or Isaac and Terim Shuva, the Zeich to tremendous Yeshuas, so Esther wrote down as Kol Toikef, which means that the Megillah was written Baruch HaKodesh Mekayim Esigeres HaPurim Azois HaShenis. The second letter was that they should keep the Yontif of Purim. The first letter was just to explain to the Yidden the details of all the nisim that happened behind the scenes, everything we've been discussing, in short. So Mordechai was publicizing to all the Yidden about all the nisim, and now the second Igeres HaPurim Azois HaShenis was instructing them to keep Purim L'Doiris. There's this theory that before it said Mishchol Shana V'Shana. So they sent out Svarim to all the 127 Medinas, the Rishon, the MS, which is Maram, is that the Megillah should be considered like a Sefer Torah. There's got to be certain halachas. It should have ruled lines, for example, like a Sefer Torah. That people should always be Mekayim upon themselves the days of Purim, Bizmanehem, just like Mordechai and Esther or Mekayim Divrei Soimus V'Zakosam, in the time of the Nes, that first year when they established the fast days and they were davened, so too were Mekayim the Yemei HaPurim Eileh, to as a reminder of that which this is what we've been discussing all this time, of that which we fasted as a tshuva and screamed to the Rebbeinu Shalom and his Mashiach. That's the whole point of the Yom Tov HaPurim. Maimer Esther came to Rebbeinu Meir of the Nechtav HaSefer is referring to that which Esther asked the Chachamim to make Purim an official holiday. It's a reference to what the Gemara and Megillah explains, that originally the Chachamim protested that you're provoking the Goyim. Every year they're going to see that we're celebrating the downfall of the Gentiles. But Esther says it doesn't matter, because since the record of the whole incident is recorded in the official royal Divrei Hayamim, so everyone will know about it anyway. In the 10th Perek, a most amazing pasuk, Vayasem HaMelech HaChashverosh Ma'asa L'Ors V'Hayom, what in the world do we need to see this for? How did the Megillah start? Vayimim HaChashverosh, Hu HaChashverosh, Hazal tell us, what's Pshat, Hu HaChashverosh? Hu HaChashverosh Purish. The Rishai Mitzchil of Atzoifai, the same Rasha Mitzchil of Atzoif, meaning even though Achashverosh had first-hand insight into what was going on over the Nisim, he saw how Haman was being pushed on top of Esther and all the, you know, the people chopping down his garden, and he sees how Amalekim smacked him in the face and he's talking to his sister. He saw plenty of riots to these Nisim. But did it change him one iota? No. That's what Chazal meant. Who Achashverosh Barishoi Mitzchiloso V'ad Soifa. Even in the end, it's the same Oisvarth. It's meant to be a less thus. And when we see Nisim, we're supposed to be machaz, change ourselves. Because we don't. And we remain unchanged. It's a big tree against us. How does the pasuk conclude? By emphasizing this is the same Achashverosh, he's the same Choymed Mammon that he was from the beginning. Before, he had made a tax break in the second parak, right? And he gave a tax break to every nation on earth. At that time, he didn't know who Esther, which nation she belonged to. And he was so enamored with Esther, so he wanted to do something special for her. So he gave a tax break to all the nations that way, whichever nation she's from, they'll benefit. But now that he knows that she's Jewish, what am I giving a tax break to all the Russians and Germans in the face for us? That's Pshat Vayosam HaMelchashesh Masal Otzvi Ayom. Put those taxes back into action. I'm passing it through without benefit of Congress. Remember, I could pass, even things directly affecting the king, I could pass by myself. Pasuk Beis is a pasuk also added for Achashverosh's benefit. V'chol ma'asek tokfoy v'rasoy parshas gedulas Mordechai shkenach and ksuvim al sifri dira yom Mordechai machiyum odi for us. They're sending out Megillas Esther to all the people of the world. Even the goyim was saying this, and the king was going to question what's this document. So it has to have his royal approval. So that's why they included this pasuk. And finally, we come to the final pasuk, which teaches us one of the most meridic yisaidis that can be learned from the whole Megillah. Ki Mordechai adu mishnu melech Achashverosh v'gadol ha'yehudim v'rotzui l'roiv echov darish toiv l'amav l'vashom l'chazar. Mordechai was a big tzaddik. He finished his career as the second Mishnu Melech, always seeking for the benefit of the Jews, right, like the Haredishan case today. Well, that's why Mordechai is in the government. So he's looking out for Jewish interests. Very nice. Oh, but what's Beratzui L'Roiv Echav, says the Gemara. L'Roiv Echav, L'Roiv Chal Echav, Malam Mishaparash Me'amikta Sanhedrin. Some of the Sanhedrin, they weren't as impressed with Mordechai anymore. They held Mordechai in esteem before him, but he dropped in Madrega as a result of all this. Can you imagine? First of all, we'll see why he dropped in Madrega in a second. But the first thing we have to see is when you have in Jewish history, we would think we want to make all our tzaddikim look great and flawless, but that's not what Torah stands for. Torah is the uncompromising word of truth. That's why Reuven and Yehuda and Moshe, no one is spared. Shlomo, David, doesn't matter. The rest of tzaddikim in the world, the Torah will write about them what there is to write about them. There's no protectia when it comes to the word of absolute truth. So too with Mordechai. The pasuk has to emphasize that despite the fact Mordechai has just spent a large part of effort and time with helping bring about Yeshua, but still there's one aspect that the rest of the Sanhedrin were upset by. We have to mention that. And what was it? It was Mevatel Torah. Well, of course he's Mevatel Torah. What? He has to be in the position he was in after the Mevatel Torah. There's a Taz. It says that a body, if a person is in a position where he has to save someone's life, of course he has to save someone's life. But the Gemara says, the fact that Moshe and Dan Madreka is teaching us not that you shouldn't save a person's life when the opportunity comes. It just means that because Mordechai ended up being Isaac in the source of the Pashas, and not in Talmud Torah, and as a result he went down to Madrega, it's meant to teach us that when you have a choice, you should be learning Torah. And the Rambam, that when you have to be Mevatel from Torah to do a mitzvah, she'i afshar asois adecheilim, the Rambam says, v'acha kafyasa l'nudelis l'diuk, that means that only if you have the ability to go back to learning should you be mevatel from the first mitzvah. If you don't, you're not going to have the ability to return to Torah, you're not allowed to be mevatel. So this is what the Torah ends off with, to teach us two yesodos: A, that Godel Talmud Torah is the Matzos Nefashos, and that even a great tzaddik like Mordechai is not spared from the uncompromising viewpoint of the Torah. And when we see all these Yeshuas of Purim, we have to realize that the Yontif of Purim is, of course, not for Hesoilulus. It's something that everyone should be Mephaisim. It's to a state of Hakaris HaTayv we should be in. Look at all these Nisim that the Bershim did for us, and Avai should do these Nisim for us again. And one of the ways we can get us to a state that the Bershim will one day be Nisim for us again is by treating the Yontif of Purim with a covenant due to it. It's a day of Yom Tov, of Shvach Vaydaya. We should be saying Hallel technically, except as Chazal say, Megillah says the goof is the Hallel. And that's why we should take this seriously and be Mepharsim as a mitzvah gadol. Mepharsim to all your friends and all your neighbors as best as possible. For it's not a day of Hefkeris and the Soilulus. It's a day to be taken seriously. We are Big Day Shabbos when we go here to Megillah and we conduct the Suda in a state of seriousness. And we take divrei kaira, and the shpachos and zmirais and bez Hashem, the mother bunch of rachmanos and Klai Yisrael, and look favorably on Klai Yisrael and bring us Yeshua b'karov. For anyone interested, the notes that I used to prepare the shiur are available by email. You can email me for a request to receive them, and I'll send them back to you. Have a freilichen Purim to all.